Trust me, I'm going to read it from the Word of God tonight. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 are the prophecy that some 500 plus years before Jesus came into the picture. Isaiah, during Hezekiah and Uzziah's reign, was prophesying in two different places. Isaiah 7 that we read this morning is a brief part of our message, and then tonight in Isaiah chapter 9 about the coming Christ. The prophecy is God's promise that what he is saying is going to come to pass will actually come to pass. Some of the greatest words that you'll read in the Bible are these, "and it came to pass." In other words, whatever God promises, he fulfills. How many are thankful for that tonight? So in Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says it this way, beginning in verse 6. It would help if I'm in Isaiah. I'm actually in Ecclesiastes, where it doesn't say anything about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That phrase, the zeal or the earnest fervor, God's heart desire of the Lord of hosts, is what made it come to pass. We talked about this morning the probability of the fact that a man could even predict remotely close to Jesus' Jesus' birth being prophesied, and even if it was simply only 8 of the prophecies that were fulfilled, the probability of that happening. And yet with God, nothing's impossible. With God, because he is the sovereign ruler of the affairs of mankind, wrought it so because the zeal of the Lord said it was going to be so. And so on this Christmas Eve tonight, I really want to challenge you. I told the Lord just a minute ago, I said, "Lord, I don't want to just have a little ditty. I don't want to come and just talk about just a few things, and then, you know, all go home and drink some eggnog and pretend that the service never happened. I really want to get Christmas right this year. I want your home to have Christmas right. And if it's going to be right, there's some things that we need to have the Lord touch our hearts about. There's some things that need to be in place in our home." I try to be, as much as I possibly can, a practical preacher. In other words, that when you come here and you hear from the Word of God, you'll be able to leave here with a better sense of what God wants you to do about what you heard. And that's my aim tonight. And so if you'll join me one more time in praying to that end. Father, I pray now that you've been pleased up to this point. I pray that every song that we have sung with, Lord, the great fundamental doctrines of the faith, was sung from our heart. God, we sing Christmas carols with strangers, people that are not even saved, at our work Christmas parties, and we hear it on the radio. Lord, I just believe that God's people, Lord, we have a gospel right to sing from our heart and at the top of our lungs to you at every opportunity we get, because you are our God. You are a faithful Father. You are wonderful. You are a Counselor. You are the Mighty God. You are our Prince of Peace. God, according to your word, we have a right to come boldly into the throne of grace so that we could not only praise you and give to you, but we could obtain grace and mercy to help us in a time of need. And God, I know that there is not one person in here that is without need. We all have a need of some kind. And I pray tonight that you would help us to get Christmas right. I pray that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I could be filled with your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd make me meet a vessel meet for the Master's use. Lord, that you'd simply preach through me your message for us, your people, that we would bring honor and glory to you both now and forevermore. I pray, Lord, tomorrow morning, should you tarry and we survive the night safely, I pray that we would get Christmas morning, Christmas day, and Christmas night right. I pray that you'd be preeminent in all things. I pray that you'd be pleased with our words, our attitudes, our actions. I pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Christmas is all about Jesus and what he brought to the world. It's about God's love. It's about his joy that he brings. It's about the peace that he brings. And I thought about that the other night. We were over in Los Gatos at Vasona Park, and we were going through the Festival of Lights there, and I saw on the right side these words, peace to the world. And what was interesting to me was though the phrase peace to the world was there, there was no mention of Jesus anywhere in the realm of that. There was plenty of Santa, there were plenty snowmen, and there were plenty of animals. There were even dinosaurs there, but there was no Jesus at all. Sadly, even in some Christian homes, that could be the case on Christmas. An exchange of presents, a mountain of food, and yet no love, no joy of the Lord, no peace, because there's no mention of Christ. Did you know, I firmly believe with all of my heart that there can be no peace without Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There's no possible way to have joy. I can have happiness because that's what happenings, but there's no way that I can have joy, at least the joy of the Lord, without Jesus Christ. There's certainly no way I believe that I could possibly love like I'm supposed to love God or love anybody else without the love of God being shed abroad in my own heart. And that only comes by Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you this Christmas with a few thoughts concerning getting Christmas right. And if you have something to write with, I'd like you just to write down a few thoughts that I put together tonight. And I want you to take them. You could use these as a devotional thought tomorrow. You can elaborate on these. I gave a couple of these kind of lessons in our Sunday school the last couple of weeks. Or you could use it just for yourself. You could use it tomorrow to prime the pump before you go off into the day, or maybe even tonight before you go off into the festivities. If you and I are finally going to get Christmas right this year, let's just think about this. First of all, you've got to be right in purpose. You've got to be right in purpose. Celebrate Jesus Christ, who was God's gift. Man, if you want to celebrate something tomorrow, celebrate Jesus. And I've known some people that sung happy birthday to Jesus. I suppose you could do that. It feels kind of weird a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, you can rehearse and you can elaborate on what that gift means to you. What does Jesus mean to you? What does the birth of Jesus Christ mean to you? That's what we need to celebrate. That's the purpose of Christmas. How many would agree with that? Praise God for every good thing that you receive tomorrow. Everything that you receive. I don't care if it's a gift. I don't care if it's from your stocking. I don't care if it's a card. I don't care if it's your meal. Praise God and remember who really gave it to you to begin with. The Bible says in James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, every gift then given tomorrow, every gift received ought to be with an unconditional love and a heart of gratitude. So the purpose in your heart before the festivities, purpose in your heart before the festivities and the celebrations begin, make sure they begin with who is going to get the glory. Make sure that you purpose that God's going to get the glory. We got to be right in purpose. Number two, we need to be right in practice. Now, it's true, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile his body with a portion of the king's meat. And so there was a purpose long before he was taken into captivity that helped him through captivity. And I believe that. I believe we ought to wake up with a purpose. And I believe we ought to worship Christ tomorrow morning with a purpose. But we've got to put it into shoe leather. We've got to practice it. What do I mean? Well, the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And then he says this, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to what? Give than to what? It's more blessed to what? Give than what? Receive. Now, I believe the sooner this lesson is learned in life, the better life is. Now, I got to be honest. I don't know if there's anybody here like this, but I grew up very selfish. I always thought in my mind, without nobody ever showing me that verse, it is more blessed to receive than to give. That was my motto. I, like most people, love to receive. We love to get stuff. We love to get all kinds of stuff. But truly, certainly, we all love to receive gifts. But giving them, let's be honest, when you get older, you understand this, is way better. It's way better to give them. I was thinking about the messages this week, and I started thinking about our God. And I just started thinking, I started thanking him because he truly is a giver at heart, isn't he? He just gives and he gives and he gives. He gives when we don't deserve it. He gives when we don't thank him. He gives every single day of our life. In fact, the fact that you're alive today tells me that he's a giver. Amen. Amen. He gave you life and breath today. You borrowed it from his hand. He's a giver at heart. He gave it creation, didn't he? He gave abundantly a creation. In fact, he gave a sacrifice after the fall, along with a promise to look forward to. No sooner had man, in a very, very perfect setting, chose against the perfect, holy God of righteousness, and God gave a sacrifice, and then he said, now listen, you understand now the wages of sin is death because you're dying, and I've got to be separated from you, but I'm giving you hope. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, the very first messianic prophecy was given thousands of years before Isaiah ever came on the scene. That's a giver. He gave us hope. Then he gave us his word. He gave us witnesses through every generation. He gave us his mercy. He gave us his son. He gave us salvation. He gave us a way. He gave us the truth. He even gave us standing with God now and a place in heaven to come. Now, if God is such a giver, it would do most of us well to practice the same, to think about what we're giving and to think about how we're giving it, to think about to whom we're giving. It would be better for us to give instead of what we receive. I think we're going to get Christmas right. We've got to be right in purpose. I think we've got to be right in practice. And these are just some things I want you to think about. I'm just trying to jar some things loose so that when you wake up tomorrow morning, the first thing you don't think about, now you can think about the coffee pot. I think probably most of us are there, right? And you can think about the cinnamon rolls. God bless cinnamon rolls. Amen. Now, but before you just jump into and look, I'm a dad, and we have lots of kids. We're going to have everybody over tomorrow. But before everything gets all hustle and bustle, before everything gets away, let's just purpose in our heart. Say, God, why are we really doing this? And you know what it'll do? It will humble you. Lord, I want to practice this. I don't want to mention it as a byword. I want to practice this in my heart. I want to genuinely practice being a giver. Third, we need to be right not only in purpose and practice, we need to be right in prosperity. What do I mean by that? Well, a grateful heart, someone said, is the foundation for all spiritual growth. And I believe that. I like it when my older children begin to say things like, no matter what we get, Mom and Dad, for Christmas, I know we're going to love it. I love that. I love that. That shows me that their heart is in the right place. And after every gift that we exchange, you know what we always make it a point to do? We always make it a point for that individual to get up wherever they are and go over to the other individual and say two words. You know what they are? What is it? Thank you. I want them to look at the person that took the time and the effort and the forethought and say, thank you for giving that to me. Now, it could be something like this. You remember that? I got more comments about the stupid headlamp than any scripture I've ever used ever in a message. I wore this for 5 minutes. Don't you take my picture. Don't you take my picture. It's not going on social media. I'll throw this right at you. Now watch. You may get something that you thought you could never use or to even like. But the fact is somebody gave it to you. And you can be grateful for that. The fact that you receive anything could make you grateful. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of God when he gave us his son. Reminds me of when we received the gift of salvation through Christ alone and we get saved and we're not very grateful. We don't think of it on a normal basis. I know, look, I know tomorrow's not Easter, it's Christmas. But do you realize that without a manger, there's no cross? Without Bethlehem, there's no Calvary. The fact is, Jesus was submitted and surrendered to God's will from birth. After every exchange, say thank you. You know what that does? It protects your heart. It protects the heart of the one that gave you the gift in the first place. Because they realize, hey, it meant something. Philippians 4 and verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and here's the prosperity, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can be right in prosperity. I can maintain a right spirit. Listen, parents, teach your children tomorrow not to be greedy. Don't let them be selfish. Listen, don't let them be ungrateful. Don't let your kids be ungrateful. Now, their expectation may be up here, and this is where you came in. The fact of the matter is that gives them no Bible right to be disappointed at what they got. Yeah, amen. They need to be thankful for what they did get. That's being right in prosperity. And then number four, you know, to me, this one is could go without being said, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to say it. Not only do we need to be right in purpose and practice and prosperity, but we need to be right in prayer. Say, Pastor, I got so much stuff to do tonight and tomorrow before Christmas is. I don't know that I'll have time to pray. You don't have time not to pray. The fact of the matter is, if the day is really about Christ, then you'll make sure that you do this. It won't be a burden to you. Begin Christmas in the Bible and in prayer as a family, if at all possible. Because I get it, look, when your kids are little, it's going to be next to impossible. But if you can, stop and make sure that they understand what you're doing and why. Acknowledge God's goodness. Boy, it's always good to do that. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, the Bible says. Taking time to acknowledge what it is you're doing. Acknowledge God's goodness and His gift as you read the Christmas story and approach God's throne in thanksgiving. That alone will put the emphasis where it needs to be. If that's all that you did, if before you ran out there and jumped in the middle of your presence underneath the Christmas tree, if before you did anything by way of celebration or festivities, and I'm for all of it, if before you did any of that, if you stopped and everybody in your house heard a heartfelt prayer to God, you'd be better for it, and so would they. You would be actually making God the most important thing, in whom we have redemption through His blood, Colossians 1:14 says. Even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I know it's not part of the Christmas story, but God was already thinking about my sin when Jesus was born. His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Listen, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now, I'm not the smartest guy ever, and I don't have a degree in English, but the last time I checked, all things would include Christmas morning. That in all things He might have the preeminence. Not just Sunday church, not just when we go to Bible study, not just when we're at prayer before dinner time, in all things He might have the preeminence. Now, I don't think that there's anybody here tonight that would argue that we need to make Jesus preeminent on the day of the celebration of His birth. It's the celebration of His birth, not yours. Now, I don't know, there may be somebody here with December 25th is your birthday, and in that case, it's okay. But Christmas is about Christ. So be right in prayer. Number five, and we're done. Let's review, make sure you got them. Number one, be right in what? Purpose. Let's say it together. Be right in what? Purpose. Number two, be right in practice. Number three, be right in prosperity. Be thankful for what you have. Number four, be right in prayer. And number five, be right in possession. In possession. Every gift comes from God. We've already said that. Now watch. How do I be right in what I have? Commit all that you receive tomorrow to the glory of God, no matter what it is. Commit to God never to use what's been given to you to bring attention, glory, or honor to yourself. Say, God, I'm thankful for what I've received today. Now, Lord, I want to make sure that all that I have received is to bring you glory and honor. I want to make sure that I don't use this to bring honor or glory or take credit for myself. Because the Bible says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You get a new suit tomorrow. You get some new clothes. Don't wear them. I don't care whether you're a man or a woman. Don't wear them to draw attention to yourself. Don't. My life is not to draw attention to me. My life is supposed to draw attention to him. That's why we sing, Beautiful Emmanuel. By the way, the choir knocked it out of the park twice today. That's why we say, adore him. Oh, call him all ye faithful. Why? To worship Christ, the Lord. What is life about for the Christian? It's to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And of all days, it ought to be on Christmas. Amen. Be right in possession. Who knows? But this may be the last Christmas, in fact, that you ever spend. If it is, wouldn't you want to get it right? 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, it's not here, my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest of us were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was far too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if I only had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when he comes, the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. What are you going to do with Christmas? You're going to enjoy it for yourself? There's nothing wrong with enjoying the celebrations. I'm not here to pour water on anybody's Christmas festivities. But I am here to challenge you as a preacher of the Word of God. Would you get Christmas right? Would you be right in the purpose of Christmas? Would you take time and be right in prayer? Would you make sure that everything about your day tomorrow puts Jesus Christ at the forefront? And all that you have, would you purpose and promise to God that you're going to bring him glory and honor? That it's not going to be for your glory and honor? Dads and moms, we don't give so that our children will think we're the greatest parents of all. We don't. We want them to know that we love them. And kids, we want you to know that we do love you. And all of that is representation of God's unconditional love. So in light of what we've received from God, in light of all that he's done right by us, let's do right by him tomorrow. Amen? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for being so, so gracious. Lord, it's the simple truths that help us in times like this. Lord, you call me to be a shepherd. And Lord, in doing that, I believe that my job is to proclaim truth, to challenge your people, to make sure that Jesus stays preeminent. I know that even in the Bible, Paul was very open when he said, I know that you think this might be bothersome for me to write again these things, but for you it's necessary. And I think even during a time like this, Christmas, it's time for us to, Lord, to be necessary with the truth. And I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us to get Christmas right. Lord, I don't know what everybody has planned tomorrow. I know what we have planned. And I pray in all of our plans that you'll be acknowledged, that your grace would be accepted and needed, and Lord, that you'd be glorified because we got Christmas right finally. I pray that all day long you would preeminent. You'd be preeminent. I pray that every gift, that it would be exchanged with the love of God and received in the joy of the Lord. I pray that every meal, Lord, there would be a wonderful time of prayer and bonding together and fellowship because you have given us all things freely to enjoy. And I pray, God, above all, that you'd be honored and pleased. Thank you for these that are come tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, right where you are,